Now let's be encouraged. Again, just scripture tells, of course, you know, it is better to go to the house of mourning, that's in Ecclesiastes 7:2, than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. And so that's not the verse for the sermon, but with all the funerals lately, it's really got me thinking just on how fleeting time is, like life is truly a vapor. But the title of this afternoon's message, Can't Take It With You, Can't Take It With You, which is one of my father-in-law's, one of his favorite sayings, can't take it with you, you know, and so that's, well, I do his impressions all the time. I might do it even more now. I'm sorry, honey, if I overdo it. But again, it's been a tough week with all the funerals, Brother Eric, you know, Dad. And in fact, the night before Dad passed, I was talking to him. My wife and I were on the phone talking to him about the passing of another brother in Christ, Pastor Jack Taylor. And you folks don't know him, but he was the pastor that God used to start the church in Chippewa, Bridgewater Baptist, that my father-in-law took over after. And so he's just, you know, his 57. Yes, his 57, and he had passed away January 7th. And just unexpectedly type of thing. And so we found out, like, oh, boy, did you know Pastor Taylor died? And so we were just chit-chatting, and I was talking to Dad on that Saturday night about Pastor Taylor. I said, Dad, did you hear about Pastor Taylor? I said, yeah. You know, it's just chit-chat. And I said, well, you know, but just a way to remind ourselves how fleeting and how precious life is. Then, of course, Sunday morning, Dad was gone. But just praise God for his goodness to us. But it really got me thinking again just how fleeting time is. And when it's our time, it's our time. We don't know the time. God does. And so may we be ready. Be ready. You know, it's God knows it. I praise God that he's sovereign, but I also praise God that he's gracious. And so we can just trust in him. Even though we don't know how long or how short our life would be here on planet Earth, we can trust the Lord. You know, I was just thinking of this lady, Char. She's at the Our House Assisted Living, right kitty corner here. And she was one of our first attendees to the Bible study at Island Place. Later on, she moved to Riverview, so you know, she asked me to come. I followed her there, and then we got another group going. God used her that way, and now she's here. But I had a chance to visit with Char just last week, and she might be mistaken, okay, but she told me she turned 94. And I could have sworn she just turned 93, so maybe she's off, but I'll give her that you know, little buffer there. But either way, she's either 93 or 94. And it kind of got me thinking, like, wow. And she asked me to pray for her children. I said, yeah, I'll pray for him. I mean, her son's in his 70s. And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that, you know. And one of my brother Neil, back in Eau Claire, who got me into the jail ministry, and for years, you know, he would say, just pray for my mom. And he would always catch me off guard, like, yeah, that's right, I do pray for your mom. The thing is, Brother Neil's he's a grandpa, you know, and he tells me to pray for his mom. I'm thinking, your mom? I guess she's still, and she's one of those ladies that lived, you know, close to 100 type thing. But it's and so we have that. She's 94, still going strong, and so I'm blessed to get to see her. And then, of course, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He died at about 33. We have John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, of course, was beheaded. And so kind of the same, in fact, earlier, because that was when Jesus started his ministry. So John the Baptist was probably about 30, okay, when he got when lost his head. Of course, we have others that have gone before us. And so we have no guarantee of how long now, 70 years, but that's God's promise generically to the human race. Individually, of course, it varies. But regardless of that, we are so thankful that God is in control, that he's gracious, and that he loves us. But it got me thinking, when it's our time, be ready. You know, death happens sudden, and it's final. And that's one of the hard things for us is, you know, when Dad passed, when he's passed, he's gone. That's it. It was God's time for him to go. He had no pain. I praise the Lord for that. He was, you know, in the hospital room there, and as what they have shared with me, he was talking to the staff and just, you know, just chit-chatting with them. He said, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. So he gets up and then just falls right over. And he was perfectly fine. He was hooked up to monitors prior to that, and his heart was completely fine. But right at that time, he fell over. They spent half an hour trying to resuscitate him, but he was gone home to glory. And, to his blessing, if you've gone home to glory, you don't want to come back. Hey, I'm staying here. It's okay. Praise God for that. But just to be ready, because death is sudden and it's final. You know, you don't get to undo it and go back just a little half an hour to say bye to them. They're gone. And so be ready, be thankful, praise God for every minute that we have. It's a gift from God. Let's go to 1 Timothy. We haven't even said the passage yet. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's go to verse 6 and 7. And I'd just like to just share again how my father-in-law just really blessed me with his testimony and his family for that matter. How God used them, and I read the scriptures. I was not illiterate. I could see what the Bible said even before I was saved. But it's a blessing when you see God's promises in real life, in the lives of other people. And so that God used that to tender my heart to the truth. But let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 6 and 7. The Word of God says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be here in thy house. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. And thank you, Father, just for the testimonies of those that have gone before us. And we miss them, we love them, but we are comforted that we know that we will see them again. Help us, Lord, to as we consider their passing, as we are in the house of mourning, Father, that we take to heart, Lord, just myself, Lord, that you continue to straighten me up, Lord, and to continue to realign me in your will, in your word, that we focus on things that are of eternal value, things that cannot be seen. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your promise to us, your provision, and we love you. Bless now this, the preaching of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do appreciate my father-in-law, as he will always, you know, not always, but he would say, you know, can't take it with you. Of course, we see the kind of the application here in verse 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. We can't take anything with us going to heaven. And of course, Lord willing, that we are going to heaven. But I do appreciate my brother-in-law, Caleb. You know, he said this, you know, where we kind of met up with him, cleaning through Dad's apartment. And he said, you know, Wing, one thing I noticed with, kind of hit me with Dad's passing as we clean his stuff and just think about what Dad did, the life he lived. Was just how do you say it? I might be misquoting. I'm going to paraphrase him, but how little thought Dad gave to money. You know, how much he really didn't care about money. And I echo that from the standpoint that Dad really emphasized instead true riches. True riches. I understand you got to have money to pay bills. I get that. But beyond that, that Dad really emphasized true riches. I was very blessed with his testimony about that. I see in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. My father-in-law was a godly man. He served as pastor at Bridgewater Baptist Church. Every morning, he would pray for his children, pray for his grandchildren. Every morning, he would read his Bible. He was well-beloved by his neighbors, and he was content. He was very satisfied with the life that God gave him. So many testimony after testimony after testimony. It's one of my favorite things to do is just fellowship with Dad. Because I would kind of just pick his brain, and he would tell me, yeah, one time I did this. And I would just be so blessed just to see God working in the life of us, of people. Praise God for that. You know, his favorite Christmas present year after year was the custom family calendar that Gina would put together. You know, that was just all his family. January, February, you know, every month would have just, you know, just the family photos on that. And that was his, he loved that because that was a gift to him, his family. From the Lord. And, you know, my father-in-law, Dad, you know, he was not beholden to money. His faith was in the Lord. Even his spending behavior, I think the last few years, we were very blessed. I was very blessed to you know, to see him very obviously emphasize what God has given him with his family and family time. You know, and growing up, they were a very humble, modest family. But Dad sure was very, I won't say extravagant, but he was very generous towards the last few years here. You know, and when the family would visit, hey, let's all go out to the family restaurant. They'd, well, Adam, isn't it? Adam said, that's okay. That's okay. You know, he wasn't wealthy from a financial standpoint. But my friends, he was spiritually blessed. And he was so blessed. And so that he didn't matter and what the cost was. And he would take the family out to eat. And I was just very humbled by that. And it kind of convicted me because sometimes to myself, you know. Now, I guess I understand it's a balance. It's a ditch in both sides. I get it, you know. Okay, but sometimes I'm a little bit too much to one ditch. When I'm too busy counting pennies, I forfeit the blessings that God has given me right there. And so I just praise God for that reminder. And I'm thankful for how God blessed my father-in-law. Without him or anyone of us knowing at that time, when we took that family trip down to Branson. You know, we did it just last summer. That was Dad's desire of his heart to have a whole family get together, his kids and their spouses and his grandchildren. And many years that he thought of it, but we finally were able to do it last summer. I praise God for that. And I see that as God being faithful to his servant. My father-in-law delighted himself in the Lord. God gave him the desires of his heart. Again, through God. Again, not saying displacing God, but praising God for it, for his family. There were certainly reasons for us not to do it. You know, in fact, two of the sisters were pregos with child. And so certainly like, well, I don't know, should we do it? Be right before one has a baby, right after one. I forget how that happened. Everyone's busy. You know, so-and-so's got school, they've got work. And by the way, there's always a reason not to do something. Right? There's always going to be a reason. But I praise God that we did it. Praise God it wasn't this summer, and then this happened. And so I just praise God for that. God allowed that to happen. Now, did my father-in-law have a life void of pain? Of course not. He'll be the first to tell you that pain, not to say pain's his middle name, okay, but he's always in pain ever since his accident in 96, where God, you know, God kept him alive. He should have been dead then, and he knew it, where he was hit by that van, correct? I think it's a van. And it crushed both hips. You know, it launched him out into the street. His face was ripped in half, not completely, just the front. They had to stitch him back. But he became basically a mechanical man after that, with all the parts in him. But God saw fit to spare his life then from that horrific accident. And so he knows his share of pain, physical, even emotional. Of course, he misses his wife Madeline. She passed away 7 years ago. And Dad would tell me, you know, say, "Wayne, you need to go." You know, the one thing about going to family restaurants, you know, I look around. He said that one day, I forget if it's close to Valentine's or whatever, this was some time ago, he said that one time we went to this family restaurant and every single booth, Wayne, was a husband and wife, husband and wife, husband and wife, husband and wife, and oh, I miss Madeline so much. And he said, those people, they're blessed. They're blessed, Wayne. I said, yeah, I got it, Dad, I got it. but no, you don't get it. They're blessed. And by the way, so we have family, we have loved ones. Praise God for them. Praise God for them. But I want to share just Dad was a godly man. He was truly content. And say, what's there to be content with? You know, his bank account wasn't extremely much. It was the spiritual blessings of God. Scripture tells us we can't take it with us. And we know that that's not God's desire. In fact, the only thing that we can take with us to heaven, thing, meaning the souls of those that we lead to Jesus Christ. Amen? We can take those to get to heaven. Praise God for that. Let's go to verse 8 here. The Word of God tells us to be content, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Praise God. And can I ask you, my friend, do you have food and raiment? If we got it, we are blessed. If we have it, be content. Because if we are not content, if we don't count our blessings, we are dangerously close to teetering to serving mammon and then rejecting God in the process. Even though we might not desire to reject God, Jesus tells us a law of creation, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so even if in my mind I don't want to not serve God, if I serve mammon, if I go after wealth, okay, and it's not money is just money, okay, but it's the love of money. It's not just, and by the way, being rich is not bad. The idea that the warning is those that are not rich but want to be rich, okay. God has blessed, certainly in the Bible, his saints, Job, Abraham, David, he was the king, Solomon, yeah, okay. Okay, so there were certainly very wealthy believers in the Bible, but God made them rich. They didn't seek it out themselves, okay, and the idea is if we seek it out ourselves, even though I might in my mind say, oh, it's okay, I'm going to be faithful to God, I can't. It's a human impossibility to serve God and mammon. We cannot do that. And so it's a very humbling reminder, you know, be content, count our blessing, really count it. If we have food and raiment, praise God for it. Verse 9, but they that will be rich, and so they're not rich, but they want to be rich. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is the way the world goes. Christians ought not to do that. It's wealth that has the tendency to draw our heart away from God, keep us from God. Remember the rich young ruler? Jesus was right there. Jesus said, "Follow me." The same invite that Jesus gave to his disciples, Andrew, Peter, James, John, "Follow me." Now, they forsook their nets, follow Jesus. And we can say, well, that's just because they're poor. Well, they were humble fishermen, but it does, material wealth does have its tug on our hearts. It does. And the rich young ruler, of course, he remains nameless because he didn't follow Jesus. No one knows who he is. But he says, Jesus gave him the same invite, "Follow me." And he couldn't do it. He was sorrowful, like, oh, can't do that. And then he walked away. And then Jesus, of course, they were both sad, different reasons. But he could have walked with Jesus Christ. He could have walked with the God of glory on planet Earth. And so what a disappointment because of the wealth of mammon. Mammon, you can't serve God and mammon. Look at verse 11 with me. Only when we are free from the snares of wanting to be rich, the love of money. Okay, mammon is not just money. Mammon is wealth and the whole abundance of extravagant lifestyle that goes along with that. Only when we are free from the snares of wanting to be rich can we pursue God. Look at verse 11. But thou, O man of God. Yes, Timothy was a man of God, but it applies to every Christian. Okay, it doesn't mean that just because he's a man of God, he's above the temptations. Not at all. We're all you know, fallible. We're all targets for Satan. Thou, man of God, flee these things. Don't even try to fight it, you know. And the idea is, if I think I can, well, I'm gonna fight mammon. I'm gonna get involved in it and then show it who's boss. Well, no, don't do that. If we do that, we're already deceived. Just leave it alone. Flee these things, and then follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Praise God. But to fight it, we have to flee mammon. Lay hold on eternal life. Two hands, okay, not good work salvation, but we are saved. Now we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Two hands on eternal life. Forward go. Amen. Whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. This is our Lord's testimony. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my father-in-law did this. I just praise God for his testimony. He was faithful to the very end. To God be praised. Remember what God has given us. It's not so much about what we can gain ourselves. In fact, that's what the unbelievers, that's what the world thinks. If you look at verse 5, it's opposite. If you look at verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Okay, so this is how the unbelievers, the naysayers, how they think. Supposing that gain is godliness. Mm-mm-mm. That's not how God works. This is not prosperity gospel, okay? If God blesses, praise God. But it's God tells us there are greater things that we have than just mammon. From such withdraw thyself, flee. In fact, when you go with me to verse 17, it's not what we gain to ourselves, it's what God has given us. Look at verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. The idea, of course, that those Christians that are wealthy, just a reminder, God gave it to you by grace. Don't trust in it, okay? Don't give, don't make what God gave us an idol, become an idol. But instead, trust in the living God who giveth, look at this, us, so not just those that are rich, all of us, who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy. What a wonderful God that we serve. Praise the Lord. God has been so gracious to me. Count your blessings. Praise the Lord. Yeah, do we have hurt? We all have hurt. But don't let the hurts drown out the blessings that God has given us. Remember Romans chapter 8, verse 32, kind of goes hand in hand with this. It says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that matter, spiritual things that matter." Praise God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10 and then verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Praise God. And by the way, the book of Proverbs, just like Psalms, but Proverbs emphasizing on wisdom, Psalms emphasizing on worship. But in Proverbs, again, just the truth of how things are is one of those things where, like it or not, is just very, you know, is very impartial. This is the truth. If it fits one way, then it applies to you. If it fits one way, then that applies to you. And again, this is the absolute truth. If you look at verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 10, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. True wealth is not mammon. True wealth is blessings from God. And he addeth no sorrow with it. It's pure blessings. Let's go to chapter 13 in Proverbs. Chapter 13 in Proverbs. Oh, we'll close there. Chapter 13 in Proverbs and then verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And God has been so gracious to me. I trust this would apply to you. To seek after the Lord, my friends, with your whole heart. I praise God for his goodness to me. But isn't God so good all the time? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you again for just your word. Thank you, Father, that, you know, Lord, that you've given us freely. Freely. Jesus Christ paid the price. It's your love and mercy that gives us all things. And so, Father, help me to be just content and not to settle, but truly to be fulfilled, to have that abundant life, Lord, to have... I'm so thankful for the food and raiment that I have, that you provide for our needs, my needs. And so, Father, we just thank you so much for the riches that you've given us. We all have, as believers, a mansion in heaven. We all have, Father, an inheritance that is incorruptible, reserved for us in heaven. And Lord, it will not fade away. And Father, we help us to pursue spiritual crowns that we can cast back at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the testimony for those that have gone before us. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed.